Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Wednesday, June 5th. Today, in the final days of the legislative session, a bill was amended to create a major hurdle for the implementation of ranked choice voting in Colorado should voters adopt the new system in November. Political reporters Jesse Paul and Brian Eason break down what it would do and the political firestorm that it's causing. Before we begin, Elevation Music Festival is back. Join us in Alma, Colorado, August 16th to 17th for an unforgettable weekend of top-tier music against stunning mountain vistas. Enjoy world-class performances and immerse yourself in the beauty of the highest incorporated town in North America. Don't miss out. Visit elevationmusicfest.com for more information. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1922, the U.S. Supreme Court resolved Wyoming v. Colorado, a historic water rights case. Agricultural settlement in the West depends on irrigation, leading states to adopt the prior appropriation doctrine, giving water rights to the first users. This policy sparked interstate conflicts, such as Kansas v. Colorado and Wyoming v. Colorado. The latter focused on Colorado's diversion from the Laramie River, which Wyoming contested. The court upheld prior appropriation, allowing upstream diversions, but created a complex formula for fair water distribution. Subsequent disputes led states to form water compacts, like the Colorado River Compact, to avoid prolonged and heated legal battles. Before we continue, join the Colorado Sun on June 25th as equity reporter Tatiana Flowers speaks with a panel about how they see mental illness falling through the cracks, what some solutions are or ways to address the issues, and more. The event is free and virtual. RSVP today at coloradosun.com/events. Next, our feature story.
Good morning, Daily Sunup listeners. It's Wednesday, June 5th, and I'm Brian Eason with the Colorado Sun Politics team. I'm here with political reporter Jesse Paul, who discovered something interesting last week about an election bill. Hi, Jesse.
What's up?
So let's set the stage a little bit, right? It's the Sunday before the end of the legislative session back in May. There's still dozens of bills moving through the process. Lawmakers are still working on some, you know, really important policies like taxes and housing. And then something happened on the House floor to what was really a pretty uncontroversial bill to protect election workers. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so every year the legislature passes what it calls an elections cleanup bill that kind of tweaks the election code, sometimes deletes language that's in law, or adds, you know, new language to accommodate technological advances or to protect election workers across the state. And this year, there was no different. There was Senate Bill 210 was introduced kind of late in the session and moved through the process pretty quickly. But on that Sunday before the session ended, so 4 days before the session ended, the bill was being debated on the House floor. And one of the sponsors, Representative Emily Sirota, a Denver Democrat, was kind of adding a whole bunch of amendments to the legislation. And they kind of ticked them off one by one by one by one. She explained them briefly, and each one was adopted within about a minute. And one of those amendments had a big impact on what voters might decide to do in November with ranked choice voting and how Colorado's primaries are carried out.
Thank you. L040 is properly displayed to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment was worked out with several of our clerks to ensure that as new voting methods are implemented in different types of elections, we have a good amount of data to analyze to ensure we're not undermining Colorado's confidence in our elections and that voters understand their ballots and that communities of color, low-income voters, and those with limited English proficiency are not harmed. I ask for an aye vote.
And it went pretty much unnoticed until last week when I was tipped off to it, and now there's like this political firestorm that's been ignited by the Sun.
Wow. Okay, so let's back up first. What's ranked choice voting and why is this a big issue right now?
Sure. So ranked choice voting is an alternate way of selecting candidates, carrying out elections, and it's been being used increasingly in local level across the country, and now Alaska uses it as well. But basically what it is that voters, instead of saying, I pick this one candidate out of a list, they'll have a list of candidates and they'll rank them in order of preference. So one, two, three, four. Let's just say, you know, you and me are on a ballot along with some of our other colleagues, and I am ranked first, but only for a very small amount of the electorate. So once all the ballots are turned in, the person who has the least number of number one votes, assuming that nobody got more than 50% of the number one votes, drops off. And that process repeats until the one of the candidates has more than 50% of the top votes. So it's like a process of elimination. It allows people to kind of have multiple choices. It's thought of as a way to kind of moderate candidates that are in an election. And in Colorado now, there's a push to carry out state and federal elections, general elections, by ranked choice voting. There's a potential ballot measure in November that could ask this, that's being pursued.
Okay, so what else would this ballot measure do, and who's supporting this?
So the ballot measure would also change the way that Colorado's primaries are carried out for state and federal elections. So instead of having just a Democratic and a Republican primary and then maybe a third party primary, all candidates would run on the same primary ballot. And then the top four vote getters would advance to the general election, which would be handled by ranked choice voting. So two big changes. The person who's really behind this is Kent Thierry, the former CEO of Denver-based dialysis giant DaVita. He's extremely wealthy, and he's run all kinds of democracy-related, election-related ballot measures in Colorado before. If you're an unaffiliated voter in Colorado, the reason you can vote in partisan primaries is because of Kent Thierry. Additionally, he was really behind the push to change Colorado's redistricting process. But this is kind of his next endeavor in Colorado. It would be a major overhaul to the state's election system. And he also was behind that change in Alaska, which now has a similar system to what I just described that's being pursued in Colorado. And he's working with a group called Colorado Voters First. It's got a bunch of election officials, former state lawmakers on board with it. And, you know, they're willing and ready to put this on the November ballot, assuming, you know, everything goes smoothly. They collect the necessary signatures, about 125,000 voter signatures. But Ken Thierry certainly has the money to make that happen.
Gotcha. Okay, so we're all caught up. Let's go back to this bill and kind of what happened in May at the end of the legislative session. What changes did the legislature adopt, and what are supporters of ranked choice voting saying it would do to their ballot measure?
Okay, yeah, so now we've set up kind of when this amendment was passed, what the ballot measure to do, who some of the players are, and what the amendment would do. This is kind of the key point here, is that it says that ranked choice voting could not be used for state or federal elections until 12 municipalities in Colorado with certain sizes of demographics and voter numbers conduct ranked choice voting elections. For important context here, only a handful, I think like three or four cities in Colorado right now use ranked choice voting. And in some parts of the state where home rule cities exist, voters would actually have to approve a switch to ranked choice voting. So you're talking about the 2025 municipal elections before that could even be voted on. And then they would have to hold a ranked choice voting election in 2027. And then there would have to be a report to the state, and then Colorado could use ranked choice voting if one of these ballot measures passes in November. So it really would delay the process. And then additionally, the amendment added or would add a clause in state law saying that the primary change also could not happen until that burden had been met of the 12 cities going through ranked choice voting. So it's a really big hurdle to have to jump over in order to get this done. And it's not clear that it would ever happen. But at the earliest, our guess would be 2028 or 2030 would be possible. And the ballot measure sought to implement ranked choice voting by 2026. Now, I'll highlight this, and this is kind of an important thing. The governor has not signed this bill yet. And the folks who are behind the ballot measure, Ken Thierry, chief among them, did not know about this amendment until me and the Colorado Sun reached out last week and said, hey, did you guys know about this? And it set off this kind of firestorm of political craziness trying to persuade the governor not to sign the bill. He's not committing to signing it. And then the other side, you've got county clerks and the sponsors of the bill and a bunch of progressive groups that want him to sign it, in part because they think that this clause is really important, the amendment, and also because this is a bigger elections bill. It's like a 45-page bill with all kinds of stuff that would affect the way that elections are carried out in Colorado, aimed at protecting election workers and presidential electors and changing processes, deleting words. So there's a lot wrapped up into this situation.
Yeah. So clearly, if I'm a supporter of ranked choice voting, I'm not going to like what they did, right? But some of the county clerks you mentioned, the lawmakers, you know, there are a lot of people out there who thought this was a good change, obviously. Like, why did they say these changes were needed? And why did they happen so late in the session?
Well, I think there's two things going on here. One, you know, the county clerks are nervous about ranked choice voting because it's very complicated, or at least they say it is. And they think it's going to be difficult to implement in Colorado. So they want to use these municipalities as kind of a testing ground for ranked choice voting. They want to go through a risk-limiting audit, which is something that's special to Colorado, after one of these elections to be able to say, okay, we feel confident in the results here, to introduce voters to it. They're worried about voters of color and maybe non-English speakers being confused by ranked choice voting because it is pretty confusing until you've kind of wrapped your brain around what it is. And then I think the other thing that's going on is there are opponents to ranked choice voting who just don't like this. There are progressive groups who think it's not a great idea because they think it's going to moderate candidates. I think Republicans are afraid about it for the same reason. And I've talked to political consultants who say, we don't like these changes because we have no way to poll. We have no way to figure out where voters stand on this kind of stuff. It's really difficult to run a campaign if you have to contend with these major changes to the election system. So I think those are kind of the two things that are driving this. And in terms of why the amendment was brought late in the process, you know, I'll provide some deference to the bill sponsors. The bill didn't make it into the House until a few days before the session ended anyways. And it's not unusual for amendments to be passed on the fly, kind of in the final days of session. Now, that being said, I think that it wasn't totally explained to folks what it was actually doing. And clearly, you know, Kent Theory's group was not consulted with the change. And I'm also hearing that the governor's office was maybe not aware that this provision was in the bill when the measure passed the legislature and was sent to them. So there's probably some political, you know, cloak and dagger stuff going on here. But again, things move quickly at the end of session. I was at the Capitol that Sunday. I was focusing on property taxes and not on this measure in particular. So it's something that I missed. But again, it passed in a literal minute.
Seeing no further discussion, the question before us is the passage of Amendment L-40. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. L-40 is passed.
So you would have had to look at the amendment, understand the complicated words in it, and have a good sense of it in order to know what was going on.
So you mentioned the governor still hasn't signed it. Kent Theory has been pushing for a veto. Do you have any sense of where the governor stands on this? And what's going to happen to this ballot measure if he does sign it?
So I don't know where the governor stands directly. I've been hearing rumors that he's interested in vetoing it. He's upset with the provision that was put in it, and that maybe some of his closest advisors think he should sign it. He provided us with a statement indicating that he has reservations about the bill because of this situation. And so he has until Friday to sign or veto or let bills become law without a signature that were passed in this year's session. So it's all going to kind of come to a head this week. But definitely a lot of pressure on the governor over this issue from a lot of different sides for a lot of different reasons. In terms of what happens with the ballot measure if this passes, I think they probably move forward with it because there's always a chance that the legislature could come back and strip that provision out of law. And there's also some threats of lawsuits and legal maneuvering that could happen as well. But I think the issue here is that it's more of a headache for these folks. And so they're pretty upset that they weren't consulted and they didn't know about it to begin with. And again, just kind of like this political firestorm going on. It's always interesting when things like this happen at the legislature, a clause gets tucked into a bill, it has a major effect. And now here we are, everyone's hair is on fire, and it's pretty fascinating.
It's always amazing to me how with a 120-day legislative session, large chunk of the really important stuff ends up coming down to the wire every year. But, you know, I get it, too. I need deadline pressure to get things done as well. Well, thanks so much, Jesse. We really appreciate you joining us. And thank you, listeners. You can read more about it at coloradosun.com.
Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. a coalition of environmental groups is threatening to sue Suncor's Commerce City refinery for continuing to exceed air pollution caps despite racking up record fines for past violations. Earth Justice, the Sierra Club, 350 Colorado, and Green Latinos filed a notice of intent to sue the refinery in federal court in Denver. Colorado's latest fine against Suncor hit the company with $2.5 million in penalties. That's a fraction of the $32 million in fines the company has faced. The environmental groups say Suncor has been responsible for more than 9,200 air pollution violations in the past 5 years. A new community center in Colorado Springs is looking to create a safe space for LGBTQ people in a city that hasn't always welcomed them. The Prism Community Collective will also offer services to survivors of a 2022 shooting at Club Q in Colorado Springs, in which an assailant with a semi-automatic rifle killed 5 people and wounded at least 18 others before being overpowered by revelers. The center will offer counseling and gender-affirming care, along with space to simply read a book or play video games. Two apartment complexes rising in the Front Range will give homeless people free housing with few strings attached in what advocates call a promising approach to solving homelessness. The 40-unit Solid Ground complex in Lakewood opens next week. Next spring, the city of Denver plans to open a 100-unit complex to house homeless people. Both will have on-site mental health services, substance abuse treatment, and case managers, which are available to residents but not required. Residents don't have to have jobs, and it's okay if they have criminal records or are not sober or in recovery. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
Hi, I'm Tamara Chung, and I write about business and technology for the Colorado Sun. A large part of my beat is the Colorado economy and covering the ups and downs of losing a job, finding a job, running a business, all that fun stuff. You'll find coverage every Saturday in What's Working, and it's free because we feel all Coloradans need to know this stuff in order to stay better informed. You know, that's how we roll here, by the way. And that's why we'd appreciate your support to help keep the Colorado Sun sustainable. If you'd like to become a member, you can just go to coloradosun.com/join today. Thanks.